Welcome to the show, sports fans. This is the Treasure Valley Prepcast on idahosports.com.
That's right. Welcome in. It is another edition of the Treasure Valley Prepcast on idahosports.com, presented by No Vape, Idaho Public Television's campaign to raise awareness about the dangers of youth vaping. Be smart, don't start. We are here to talk the biggest stories in District 3, the Treasure Valley, week in, week out. You're in the great state of Idaho. My name is Brandon Maney, and start spreading the news. It's our Treasure Valley expert and North Carolina State super fan, Logan Green. What's up, LG?
Ooh, let's go, Brandon. Let's go, man. Look out. Headed to the Final Four for the first time in my life. I've got my Why Not Us t-shirt on. Heck yeah, man. We're going to win the national championship this weekend. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, now you didn't specify, so for those that haven't tuned in recently, every week we have been talking about the North Carolina State Wolfpack. Logan, born and raised in North Carolina, Idaho transplant, his beloved Wolfpack got on a Cinderella run at the ACC tournament in men's basketball. They won that, needed to win it to make the NCAA tournament, yeah. Got in as an 11 seed, and they have not lost since. Most recently, they vanquished Marquette in the Sweet 16, the number 2 seed, arch rival Duke, ACC rival, the number 4 seed in the Elite 8, and now they are in the Final Four against the top dog, the Purdue Boilermakers.
Yeah, this is awesome. This is awesome. I know this is not Idaho sports related, but it's me related, and you're stuck with me for the next little bit. But man, is awesome. It is so much fun, and to do it against Duke it tastes so much better. Because I grew up in Durham, right? So Duke is right down the street. Like, one of my friends in high school, his dad was athletic director. His grandpa, excuse me, not his dad, was the AD at Duke that brought in Coach K. You know, like, I was around Duke people my whole. My dad worked for Duke when I was really young. When till probably I was like 7 or 8, my dad worked at Duke. And I never was the Duke guy, right? My grandpa. Okay, we're gonna take another step back. So my grandpa's dad played for Trinity College, which was Duke before it became Duke. So it was just a small college called Trinity College, and then a guy, the Duke family. Big in Durham, huge tobacco farms, lots of stuff like that, donated a bunch of land so that Duke could have, Trinity College could have more space, right? So then they changed the name in honor of him, giving him all the land and all that. So so then my grandpa went to Duke he went to NC State. So he separated from the fold there, right? And he took me to, you know, I posted this on my Twitter page, but one of my favorite sports moments as a kid was my grandpa took three of my uncles and me to an NC State Duke game and at Cameron. I think maybe my uncle got the tickets because they were Duke fans. So my uncles were Duke fans, and he takes us there. And there's always like a little side bet, right, about who, you know. Hey, if Duke wins, you're getting this. State wins, you're getting this. And, you know, Duke won the game. And so my grandpa, he whipped through the McDonald's drive-in line. He's like, I said I'd buy dinner. I didn't say where. And to my uncle, it was just really funny. And we didn't actually eat there. We went somewhere else. But it was just a lot of pettiness, right, that goes along with that. So, yeah, it was great to come against Duke and punch a ticket to the Final Four. And I know Brandon's on Team Purdue on Saturday. He thinks DJ, you heard it right here. Brandon Baney does not like DJ Burns. He just said it. He's America. He likes villains. Brandon, you probably like Thanos too, don't you? He thinks Purdue's going to win. We'll just see what happens. I mean, it's going to be very tough, but hey, why not? Right. Weren't even supposed to be here, and here they are. And it's a heck of a fun ride.
It's what March is all about, for sure. I am just saying, on paper, every time NC State has played this tournament, I've been able to say, yes, I can see a path to victory. if you'll recall, before the tournament even started, Logan, I'm the one who said on this very show, hey, I'm looking at this bracket. There are opportunities for NC State.
I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing. Yeah.
it is going to be fun. And at the same time, Logan, the NC State women are also in the Final Four.
I know, man. Like, this is awesome.
They also are taking on the top dog, an undefeated South Carolina in their Final Four matchup. What, NC State and UConn both made the Final Four in men's and women's hoops?
No, they were saying it's like the first time, I think South Carolina did it in men's and women's in 2017. And this would, you know, when State did it, it was like the, you know, only happened 14 times ever. And to have it happen to two teams in the same year, that's got to be... I haven't seen the official stat, but I would assume that's probably the first time that we've seen two teams have both. And potentially we could have the same, potentially, right, the same national championship, which probably won't happen. You know, like I would assume Iowa will knock off UConn, but I don't know in the, on the women's side. But hey, NC State has played South Carolina in women's a couple times over the last few years, and State's beat them, even when Carolina was really good. So I don't know. We'll see. Should be both. I got a weekend full. I got 4 days, potentially 4 days of like just straight nothing but championship basketball. So it's getting, it's hurting the wallet with these t-shirts. I can't keep up. Had to buy some Final Four shirts the other day. And so I'm hoping that I'm buying some national championship t-shirts here in a few days too.
Yeah, you also bought a subscription to the newspaper in Raleigh. That's where you printed printed off that headline, right? Show that again one more time. Yeah.
See, look, I got this one. And the reason it's nine is because this is their ninth win in a row. That's, you know, newspapers always put those, you know, punny type headlines. And it was their ninth win in a row to get there. I also printed off the ACC turn. I can't get it. There we go. One right there. You'll see them hanging here for the rest of eternity on this wall once I get the frame.
Can't wait for that. And of course, physical newspapers are in decline, so you bought a digital subscription, printed those out. I think that'll actually hold up better over time than the thin, flimsy newspaper. So
yeah, I don't even know. Like I texted my uncle and I was like, hey, can you get me a paper? Like, do they even do that? And he's like, I'll look, but I know. I was even surprised to see that they still put it together like this. Like, look at the bottom. It's like a regular newspaper. And it even says, like, you know, go to this page to read it. Like, so they're like, if you look at the e-edition, it looks like there's comics, there's classifieds. And I'm like, who is still doing this? It's, I enjoy reading, but I like the Idaho Statesman. I have a subscription there and I read them frequently, but I never look at the quote e-edition of it, like the physical edition, but I have the online edition and I have the app on my phone and I just read it that way, but
right,
not in the traditional. This is going off the rails here. This is 8 minutes of not Idaho sports material, but
let's
you didn't pay for this. So you can sit and listen.
All right. Last thing. And then we'll move on. You were talking about how weird it is that UConn and NC State are both in the Final Four for men's and women's hoops. It reminded me of the first time ever that there was one university that produced the number one pick in the NFL draft as well as the NBA draft. Little trivia time. We got some people tuned in watching this on the idahosports.com YouTube channel, Facebook page, and Twitter account. Throw your guesses in the comments if you can remember which school it was and which athletes it was. And the year, there was a university that for the first time ever had produced the number one NFL draft pick and the number one NBA draft pick. Logan, do you know the answer? Don't give it away. Do you know the answer?
I have like a, and I'm trying to think of players that went number one. And I think so.
Okay.
But I don't. I'm not 100% sure.
We'll find out in a little bit. And I want everybody watching, throw your guesses in the chat. And whoever wins, you'll get a Final Four t-shirt from NC State. No, I don't know. Just you'll get the.
No, they're expensive, Brandon. It's hurting. It's hurting. You can watch the Final Four knowing that, and I will say your name. And it'll be like we're watching it together. Not that anybody wants that either, but right. Yeah.
You'll get the praise of being the knowingest The knowingest know-it-all here on the Treasure Valley.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
All right. So we talked about South Carolina attempting perfection in women's hoops. We had perfection on the pitcher's mound and the pitcher's circle, Logan, three different times last week in the Treasure Valley. Simply incredible. Let's start on the baseball side, and let's start with the Middleton Vikings, because this happened the same day we were recording last week's episode, so we didn't get a chance to talk about it. But Trenton Swigert from Middleton comes out against Bishop Kelly last Tuesday in a 7-0 win for the Vikings. So a nice tidy little football score there. Swigert goes the distance, all seven innings, no hits, no runs, no walks, 12 strikeouts in the victory. Now, he did face 22 batters, so I guess technically not a perfect game, simply a no-hitter. One Middleton error was the difference. So a no-hitter for Trenton Swigert of Middleton.
It's funny how these I mean we just had one in the MLB a couple days ago as well from the Astros, but they seem to come early in the season, right? You always think that this is something that you build up to, right? And, you know, mid-season, late season thing, but Major League Baseball had one on the first week of the season, and then we've got three here early in the Idaho softball and baseball season already.
Yeah, it's been pretty phenomenal. So Swigert, not only the no-hitter, but 12 strikeouts in the victory as well. And that came against Bishop Kelly, and we'll get to them in just a second. At the plate in the 7-0 win, Logan, last Tuesday for Middleton, they were led by the efforts of Swigert at the plate. He had a home run, a single, and a double. He finished a triple shy of hitting for the cycle, as well as pitching this no-hitter. He had a 3-for-4 day at the plate, two runs batted in, and also anchoring the lineup was Keith Lee. He finished 2-for-3 with two runs batted in as well. And he had the triple. He got the triple that Swigert was missing.
Yeah, you're right. Man, Middleton just seems to crank out baseball players lately, right? They've got a couple of guys, you know, one that went Division I last year, and then they've got Brock Silvers is committed to Kentucky, an SEC school for baseball. And when you have a stat line like Swigert had, you got to think that somebody's going to come calling at some point, right? When you're able to do something like that, if he doesn't already, I'm not sure if he's got anything already lined up, but man, that's a heck of a stat line for one game to throw a no hitter and then to almost hit for the cycle. That's impressive.
Yeah. And for Middleton, I mean, it just further solidifies what has been a fantastic season for them so far, Logan. When you look at the 5A Southern Idaho Conference standings, Eagle, Middleton, both 2-0. Eagle is 10-1. Middleton is 10-2. We did a deep dive on Eagle on last week's show. I would say also, you know, Owyhee is still going to be right there, right?
Right.
They're 8-2. They're 1-1 in league play. Owyhee did stub their toe in their conference opener against Eagle. We talked about this last week, Logan, where there was this little two games in 3 days series between Eagle and Owyhee. Eagle won both of those 3-1 in the non-conference game, 6-5 in the game that counted in the league standings.
Yeah. So, you know, Eagle all of a sudden, like we already talked about them last week. If you want to hear more, go back and listen to that one. But yeah, Owyhee, they're the back-to-back state champs. Like we can't count them out. And it's not like they got rolled by Eagle at all. And I'm sure Owyhee will be just fine. But when you look at it right now, I think we see two that are on top, like you said, Eagle and Middleton, and I would guess Owyhee will be right there, and it'll be those three that are going to duel it out all season long.
Yeah, pretty cool story there for Eagle as they continue to rock and roll. Third team we wanted to spotlight in the 5A SIC before we move on is Rocky Mountain, Logan, because they played last Friday against Centennial. They picked up a 10-0 shutout victory. And in that game, Lincoln Mathis throws a perfect game.
Yeah, another. We got two in the same league. Well, not a two no hitters there in the same league in the same week. A heck of a performance by Mathis getting it done against Centennial. And I mean, Rocky Mountain is, you know, they've kind of had a back and forth season, right? They've beaten some good teams. Like they beat Middleton to start off the year, right? They've got a couple of losses throughout the schedule as well, but this is a team that can get it done, right? They've got the ability to do it, especially on the mound, because in that game against Middleton, it was a 3-2 victory, so they were able to keep the score low on Middleton, who can obviously hit the ball. So watch out for Rocky if they get things going here. They did lose their last two games, but that win against Centennial, that, like you said, that perfect game, awesome performance.
Yeah, so in the victory, Lincoln Mathis on the mound, just a junior, only 5 innings of work here because they won via the 10-run rule. But in those 5 innings, Logan, 12 strikeouts. So 12 of the 15 batters that he faced got the punch out.
Yeah, that's, and then we've got another player to talk about, but anytime that's similar to this, but anytime you're not even giving them a chance, you're not giving your team a chance to make a mistake. We talked about other teams in the past that might have great pitching, but sometimes make mistakes in the field, but you're not even giving your team a chance to make a mistake. You're just sending them down right there at the plate. What is that, 3/4 or 4/5? I don't know the math on that of batters striking out or striking them out. That's awesome. Heck of a performance there for him and for Rocky.
Such a great performance. Logan invented a new word to describe it. Strucking out.
Strucking out. Yeah. It's the North Carolina. They didn't teach us the correct words in North Carolina growing up. Here's Brandon. They also missed in this, right? Is they put up 10 runs, right? They mercy ruled them in the process, which helps your pitcher, right? They don't have to pitch as much, right? You know, their arm doesn't have to go as long. You're able to maintain that throughout, you know, maybe you need them later on in the week, something like that. And you can shut it down early, right? And you help your pitcher get this awesome accomplishment because you're able to do it at the plate as well. So I think, you know, sometimes that might get lost in what happens in a no-hitter or a perfect game like that. But the offense definitely contributed and helped get their pitcher off the mound earlier than expected.
So those were the two baseball pitching performances that stood out. A no-hitter for Trenton Swigert of Middleton. A perfect game for Lincoln Mathis of Rocky Mountain. Our third perfect game still to come is on the softball side. So we will get to it in a moment. But let's take a quick tour through the rest of the baseball landscape, Logan. At the 4A SIC level, Bishop Kelly got, you know, they've been a perennial state participant, got to the championship last year, fell to Pocatello in an all-time classic. They've had an uneven go of it. 6-5 record last night playing Skyview in their season opener, Logan. That game was reported as a forfeit. Bishop Kelly forfeited that game to Skyview. And so I'm not sure what happened there yet because it just happened last night. We haven't heard anything yet, but it's interesting. And they were the team that got no hit against Middleton, 7-0. And so it's a different looking SIC, right? Where Columbia and Bishop Kelly have been the top two teams over the years, but it's Skyview in first place at 2-0 in the league, 8-1 overall. Valley View is right there at 1-0. And then you look at Ridgeview as well. Ridgeview beat Columbia and handed the Cats their only conference loss so far 2-0. And this is a Ridgeview team that's 4-5 overall, but we can see the potential with this Ridgeview team.
Yeah, I think, you know, you look at what Ridgeview was able to do in that game. They scored a run in the first inning and a run in the fourth, and that was it. I mean, they only had 4 hits, but you look at what the pitchers can do for Ridgeview, and this is a team that all of a sudden is a little bit could be a little bit dangerous. And, you know, they went out there, 2 pitchers pitched in that game, Bryson Oswald and Jordan McIntyre. And they come out with a shutout in this game against Columbia, 2-0. They hold them to 2 runs each. You know, Oswald, he had no hits. He only threw 1 2/3 innings. But one thing I always look at, Brandon, whether it's right or wrong, I look at the, you know, I like to look at the walks in a game and see how many free bases are they giving out. And because we see it at state baseball all the time, somebody gets a walk and they're gunning for second, right? They're trying to manufacture a run. Only 1 walk for each batter, so 2 overall on the game, and they had 12 strikeouts. So 12 strikeouts, only 2 walks. I look at that immediately and say, man, they really got it done on the mound. And you know what? The offense only mustered 2 runs, but Columbia is a good baseball team, and you got 2 across and you didn't give up any. So shout out to Columbia to Ridgeview for the shutout there. And all of a sudden, I think they should be on people's radar right now.
Yeah, and you mentioned it. Those are the top two pitchers for this Ridgeview pitching staff this year. Two seniors, Oswald and McIntyre. Oswald has a 2.10 ERA, Logan. He's 1-0 on the mound, 2.10 ERA. He has 18 strikeouts to just three walks. That is superlative for a high school pitcher. And then McIntyre is better. You know, he's got a 3.79 ERA, but he's also pitched seven more innings. But he's got 29 strikeouts to just six walks. I mean, that's the formula for success right there.
Yeah, you at state baseball, you got to have two pitchers, right, to make it, right? You've got to be able to – that's always – you see teams maybe run out of gas towards the end because, you know, they run out of pitchers. And it's a gamble, right? It's a chess match. Is when do you throw your best guy at state and things like that? Not that we're already talking about that for anybody, but when you've got two that you know could go out and win you a game on their own, which is what Ridgeview has right now – you know, you got to feel good about yourself that you could win some games at state. You look on the back end, they're throwing a freshman out there as well. That's kind of their third guy in the lineup there. McKay Barrett, who's in there. So a freshman for Ridgeview. So we'll see, maybe he comes along as the year goes throughout, and you get it done. But, shout out Ridgeview baseball. They're looking really good right now.
Yeah, and they have played, you know, a pretty tough schedule so far. The other 4-5, but they lost to Bora in eight innings by a run. They lost to Mountain View, which is a really good 5A program. They lost to Owyhee. We just talked about how good they are. They beat Rocky Mountain, and then they have played really, I think, some of the best contenders from other parts of the state in 4A baseball. They beat Moscow from the north at the Bucks Bags tournament by a run, 8-7. Moscow is going to be right in the mix for the north title. They played Pocatello, the defending state champs, and fell 13-6. In that game, you had Oswald on the mound, kind of taking some lumps. He allowed four runs, but two of those runs were unearned. So he only allowed two earned runs, and then they had to give way to the bullpen, and things kind of fell apart. And then they lost to Minico, one of the favorites, along with Twin Falls, over from District 4, by just a single run, 6-5, and Minico scratched it across in the last inning to win 6-5. So I think for Ridgeview, yeah, there's a lot of potential bubbling underneath the surface for this team.
Yeah, you look at it, and you're right. I think people immediately, like, well, they lost those games. Yeah, you're right. They did. They lost those games to really good teams, but that you can see them kind of maybe finding their footing right now, right, with a win over Columbia. They're going to have this experience when they go to the state tournament, right? They're going to have that in their back pocket, knowing I've already played. If they make it, right, if they make it, that, you know what, we played Minico, we played them tough. Hey, we beat Moscow. Hey, you know what, we were in it with Pocatello until, you know, maybe we kind of slipped up there at the end. And our guys are young, right? They're going to come around eventually, and hopefully those arms get better as the year goes along. And I think they set themselves up well for success, right? They played a tough non-conference schedule. They didn't just play cupcakes. They really went and they scheduled hard. A lot of 5A teams, a lot of good 4A teams, and you know, they took their lumps there, and we'll see how it pays out in the end for Ridgeview.
Going to be really fun to watch this team as they go through the course of the rest of the season, for sure. Quickly looking at the other classifications, Logan, 3A, you know, Homedale still, you know, 2-0 in the league, 9-1 overall. Payette's off to a 2-0 start. They're 4-7 overall. Payette has picked up a couple of nice conference wins over Parma and McCall Donnelly. We'll find out Wednesday tonight, Logan. They play in Fruitland. I mean, that'll be a big measuring stick for Payette there. For Homedale, they're hosting Marsh Valley in a non-conference double dip this Saturday. And those are, like, you know, Marsh Valley won state 3 years ago. They won last year too, right?
Yeah, they've gone back to back. Marsh Valley has over the last 2 years. And man, that's a heck of, I mean, that's a, again, I'm Treasure Valley guy. I don't know. You probably know more about what's going on over there in East Idaho, but I'm sure that Marsh Valley's right back in the mix of things like they usually are. But man, that's a potential state that's a state tournament. It was a state tournament game last year, if I remember right. It was 1-0, I believe, was the final score. And I think we could, these two teams, there's no reason we couldn't see them playing in late May again as well.
Yeah, Marsh Valley is 6-3 with losses to Kimberly, which is the big favorite over in District 4.
Yeah.
They lost to Skyview at the Bucks Bags tournament, 4A program. They just lost to Malad last night, Logan, 1-0 to the Dragons. And we know what kind of program they have. Malad has won 2A championships recently.
Yeah, and they played great last year, I believe. Did they made it to the finals, didn't they? Or they were at state last year. It was in Orofino, but I remember that they were there. But anyway, well, you know, I didn't see that score with Kimberly. I'm sure Kimberly was anxiously awaiting that opportunity because that's who beat them in the state champion. That's who the state championship was between those two last year. So anyway, Homedale looking good again, and they've got the pitching staff to get it done. It's something we talked about in the past. Homedale, sometimes you saw them beat themselves, right, with mistakes in the field. And you look at what they've done this year, and they have not given up a lot of runs. And so I'm sure that a lot of that has to do with the pitching. When you've got the Fines out there that can do whatever they want on the mound, that's always going to help. But I think maybe that defense for Homedale maybe has taken that next step. And that's a team, a program, a school that has just been itching for a state championship, right? They've been baseball has been pretty close the last few years. Football seems to always be right there, and they would love to get one of those under their belt.
Yeah, the way this schedule works out, and Malad, by the way, Logan, did win the 2A championship last year. They beat Napa Christian by a run, 4-3, and they beat Marcy.
I swear they were there, weren't they?
Yeah, they took out two Treasure Valley teams. They beat Marcy in the semis, 1-0, and then they beat Napa Christian in the championship, 4-3. Before we get to the weekend, though, Homedale and Weezer play on tonight, Logan, in Weezer, Wednesday, April 3rd in Weezer. This is a big game. Both teams will be able to throw their top guy. These are the two teams that have been at state the last couple of years, along with Fruitland. And then really, I think Homedale gets the fortuitous scheduling against Marsh Valley, because the Eagles are not only coming to Homedale for a doubleheader Saturday, Logan, but Friday night they will be in Weezer for a doubleheader. So it's going to be four games in 2 days for Marsh Valley. How do they figure out their pitching? Either way, Homedale gets to kind of sit back and watch them for a night first.
Yeah. And that's again, that was a game last year at the state tournament that went down to the wire 1-0. And that was a long time ago, but if I remember it correctly, I think it went to extras, and it was a walk-off win for Marsh Valley. Just a heartbreaker for Homedale, just could not get it done. And, they're looking for their opportunity to get them back, kind of like Kimberly did. But Homedale, this will teach them a lot. They'll be able to see. I think it's good for both programs, right? You're able to see each other. Marsh Valley's going to see Homedale and learn what they need to do, and Homedale's going to see Marsh Valley and see what they need to do going forward, because these two games are not going to matter in terms of who's getting to state, right? That all has to do with your district tournament. But this is going to matter come state time, right? It's going to matter in where you're seated. It's going to matter what you learn about these teams. And so real interesting. I think that's a great road trip for Marsh Valley.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. Logan, your memory, like a steel trap, 8 innings, 1-0 win. Yeah, you nailed it. Memory's spot on.
It was a great, I was there. I mean, I did those games. So it was funny that whole semifinal and championship game all came down to the end. I think they were all one run games between Sugar Salem and Kimberly, and then Homedale and Kimberly, and then, or Homedale and Marsh Valley, and then the championship Marsh Valley and
Kimberly.
Kimberly, gosh, man.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of great, it's all the same teams. It's really funny, right? It's all the same teams that were at state basketball. These are all the teams that we saw in state football as well. It's just really funny how right now in 3A, it seems like the same 5-6 schools are just dominating in everything.
Well, I mean, there's only like 18 teams total in class 3A, so you're bound to get some of that. That's another topic for another day, but I think we could get rid of a classification and maybe.
Yeah.
Send some up and send some down. And anyways, okay, moving on. 2A baseball, Logan. Coal Valley Christian, Napa Christian, and Marcine all 1-0 to start the season. Marcine's 5-3. Coal Valley is 9-2-1. Had a tie at the Bucks Bags tournament. Napa Christian undefeated, 7-0. The more things change, the more they stay the same. We'll do a deep dive into those 2A baseball teams at some point this season. And then in the 1A baseball ranks, Logan, you've got in the Western Idaho Conference, Glens Ferry, which is a District 4 team, but they play with the District 3 schools. They're off to a 5-0 start in league play, 5-3 overall. Idaho City is 3-0 in league play, Logan. They are 5-4 overall. Idaho City went to a Woodbat tournament in Challis 2 weekends ago and got in some good quality Woodbat competition. It was fun to see them compete.
Yeah, that's awesome for them to go up there. It was in Challis? Like,
hosted by the Challis Mackey River Cats.
Okay, okay. I was like, okay. Oh, and that's a 2A baseball team. I was like, yeah, they have a one. No, they're not a. Okay, that makes sense. I got you now. I see. Well, that's awesome for them. Wood Bats, you know, Idaho City, a team that revived their baseball team a couple of years ago and made it to state last year. So, you know, they're looking like a program that's got baseball in a good spot. And again, it's always going to come down to can the guys here in District 3 get something done at the state tournament, because it has been a rough going as of late.
Yeah. 3 years ago, Idaho City, first baseball game in school history. Last year, Logan, first trip to state in baseball in school history. And not only that, they knocked off another check on the box. First win at state in baseball in school history last year as well. They beat Vision Charter in a Friday loser out game. Really fun game to broadcast. I was on the call for that for our idahosports.com. So really cool. We'll keep an eye on Idaho City as the season goes along, though, for sure.
Yeah, just awesome to see that coming along for the Wildcats.
Yeah, and shout out to Brian Huneke. He's the baseball coach at Idaho City. He's also the superintendent of schools. So this guy's got a lot on his plate, right? Yeah. You're the superintendent. I mean, you probably don't have the time to be coaching a baseball team. Not only that, but he was kind of the driving force behind getting baseball and softball programs at Idaho City 3 years ago. I did a story about it when I first came on at idahosports.com. And so for the superintendent of your schools to say, yeah, heap a little more on my plate because he's that dedicated to the sport. I mean, I think it's outstanding.
Yeah. And for a while there, they were like playing their games in Boise at the Hawks Stadium. Like, do they have a field up there yet? Are they able to play like on their football field or something? Do they have a spot? Is the snow gone in Idaho City yet? Like, that's not, I don't even know. I haven't been up there in a while.
They run into the same problem McCall does, right? McCall Donnelly always backloads their schedule. It's like all road games for the conference and then all home games in May once the snow finally melts. So yeah,
I'm practicing in the gym, and then you go down the mountain to play your games until the sun comes out up there.
Yes, for sure. So yeah, keep up the good work, Idaho City, for sure. All right, we'll get to softball here in just a moment, Logan. But first, did you know that almost all vapes contain nicotine, one of the most addictive chemicals in the world? You know, it's easy to forget because when you're talking about vape pens, oh, this one's pancakes with maple syrup, and this one is grape, and this one, it's like, well, okay, yes, but you know, the main ingredient still is nicotine, you know, and you're gonna get addicted to that.
Yeah, you just, it's like swapping. It's not like you took the bun off the hamburger and put a lettuce wrap on it. You just, it's not any better for you. Like, it's you're just, like you said, you're taking the worst part of what was in one thing and it's over here in the other thing, and you're just attached to the hip with it.
Yeah. So that's why what No Vape is doing is so important, spreading awareness about the dangers of youth vaping. It is happening in hallways, in bathrooms, in classrooms, in schools across the state of Idaho. So remember, be smart, don't start. That is from No Vape. And for more info, KNOW, No Vape. You can find more info at our website, idahosports.com, or just type in No Vape Idaho into your favorite web browser and you can find everything you need there. All right. Before we get to softball as well, Logan, zero people had guesses for my trivia question because there was no prize.
Nobody.
Logan, what was your guess going to be? The question was, which university was the first to have the number one pick in both the NFL and NBA drafts?
The only thing I can think of is Carolina. That was my my thought. And I don't know if, because I was trying to think the last time, I don't know if it was Julius Peppers the year he got drafted, and then was the basketball player from Carolina as well.
Yeah, so you're a little bit off on ears. North Carolina, not correct. Julius Peppers was actually the number two pick in the 2002 NFL draft.
It was picked by my Panthers. I remember that, and I couldn't remember if it was the first pick or the second pick, but I knew he was right up there, and so I was trying to think basketball school that had somebody go high. So I don't – let us know, Brandon.
Yeah, so Peppers went second. The Panthers were the worst team in the NFL that year, but the Houston Texans were a new franchise, and so they automatically got the number pick, and they took David Carr from
David Carr, yeah, the other brother.
Yep, and then Peppers went second to the Panthers. Peppers did play.
We're the worst team in the NFL again, and we don't get the number one pick again. Man, a tale as old as time. Let's just
And Julius Peppers did play basketball at North Carolina for his first 2 years also. So fun fact. No, the school, Logan, it was in 2005. And the school was the University of Utah, believe it or not. The Utes. They had Alex Smith, the quarterback, number one draft pick to the San Francisco 49ers. And then Andrew Bogut, their starting center, was the number one pick to the Milwaukee Bucks.
Man, I totally forgot about that guy.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, there you go. All right. The Utes.
Who would have thought? And so now that that fun fact is aside, let's dive into what's happening in softball, Logan. We have to start with Bora, and that's going to be, we try to choose one baseball, one softball team each week to kind of do a deep dive into. And the Bora Lions are going to be our deep dive this week because of what Megan Miracle has been doing inside the pitcher's circle, most notably, Logan, last Friday in a 6-0 win over Boise, their arch rivals, Miracle pitches the perfect game. She goes 7 innings, no runs, no hits, no errors, no walks, no hit batters, faced 21 batters, 21 up, 21 down, 15 strikeouts. So 15 of the 21 batters Miracle faced went down via the K. I mean, and this is somebody who's been doing this since day one of her freshman season. She's now finally a senior. She's one of these players that I feel like we've been talking about for eons and eons, and it's been so fun to watch her. And now in her senior season, I mean, what she is doing in the pitcher's circle is incredible.
She has pitched 39 innings this year and given up 26 hits, 14 runs, and only, here's the thing, only 3 of those are earned. She's given up 3 earned runs in 39 innings. That is incredible. She's had she's faced 163 batters and struck out 80 of them. Strucken out, right? That's my new term. Strucked out. I don't even remember what it was, but she has struck out 80 of her 163 batters faced. So almost half of the batters that get into the box against Miracle strike out. That is, how can you stop that, right? Where you know that, you know, logically you're working every inning, you're roughly working with an out already in the bag, right? That you're not getting that person on base at all. They're not putting it in play. Nothing's happening. You really have an out and a half. You know, every 2 innings, you only have 3 batters essentially, right? Three batters are going to put it in play, and the other 3 are not, you know, half of your batters aren't even going to get an attempt. And that's tough. And Bora has been pretty good as of late, right? They started off, they lost their opening game to Boise, but since then they have looked really good. They lost to Bora, or excuse me, they are Bora. They lost to Capital last week, but then followed it up by beating Boise, shutting them out in that game you were talking about. So they've been able to bounce back and win, and they got another bounce back game against Capital coming here pretty soon.
Yeah, they're on a little bit of a revenge tour, right? They're 5-2. Their 2 losses to Boise and Capital. They just beat Boise in the rematch in the game that counted in the league standings.
Yeah.
And now they have Capital coming up next. Another chance to get a little more payback. So we know Miracle can deliver in the circle. And the question has been throughout her entire time, will Bora be able to A, play strong defense behind her, and B, come through with enough offense? And the answer this year appears to be yes. They have 3 players batting over 500. You look at Hallie Pfizer leading the way at 583, Abby Gardner is 529. And then Kayla Campbell batting 500 on the nose. Campbell leads the way with 9 RBIs. And also Riley Nelson has 9 RBIs. And that's despite a 235 average, Logan. So she gets the bat going. Look out. And they also have some home run threats. Campbell has hit 2 home runs. Nelson and Gardner have each hit a home run. And then a sophomore, Olivia Shalafa-Fox, has hit a home run as well. So it does appear with Coach Steve Berkby at Bora, the pieces are coming together. It's going to be really fun to watch this team over the course of the rest of the season.
Yeah, you look at the season standings right now, and they're squished in the middle there. But it's because they've only played one conference game, and other people have played more. But you do look at it, it's kind of funny. They've only played 7 games, and a lot of other teams are, most everybody else is in double digits. But we're going to see, it's going to be fun to see the meat of the schedule come for them, right? When they get the Middletons, when they get the Rockies, Owyhee, Timberline, we're going to see where they really show up right there. And it'll be fun to see Miracle go against those power offense teams. And, you know, you just got to hope that on the back end, those people that she can't strike out, that the defense on the backside can get it done and hold those teams to some runs. Cause you're able to hit the ball. Like you said, you mentioned it, 3 players over 500 on the season so far. And if those players can hit and the defense can stop, I mean, it's a Bora team that can make some noise here at state, or not, well, in the regular season and at the state tournament.
Yeah, the top 3 teams in the 5A SIC standings right now are Owyhee, Timberline, Rocky Mountain. They're all 2-0. That's who Bora finishes with, Logan. The last week of the regular season, Tuesday, April 23rd at Owyhee, Thursday, the 25th at home against Rocky, Friday, the 26th at Timberline in the regular season finale. That is a 3-game sprint that is going to send them either to like a top seed at districts or possibly like a 5 or a 6, depending on how that shakes out. So that's really the week I've circled, the last one on the calendar for Bora.
And what's even more crazy is you say that, and that's 3 weeks away. You're saying the last week of the regular season is 3 weeks away.
I'm not ready for that. I'm just telling
that's
you.
That's crazy. That's wild. But yeah, that's going to be a heck of a week for Bora. And I've been looking at a couple of other schedules, and it seems like people did that, right? Teams are playing, you know, the coaches had their own little sidebar saying, hey, I think us two are going to look really good. Let's play at the end of the season and make the end of the season a little more interesting. And so I love when that happens, right? You get those big classic rivalries / epic matchups at the end. And that's what we're going to get this year, it looks like.
Yeah, I'll tell you, especially with the 5A SIC, because it's 13 teams, the way they do the scheduling, it's all alphabetical. And so it's so for example, who is Bora finishing with? Owyhee, Rocky Mountain, Timberline. Alphabetically, those are the last 3 teams in the district. Does that make sense? So everybody starts at a different point.
Oh my gosh, they do.
But you move through the teams in alphabetical order. And so sometimes it works out, and sometimes like you're playing your toughest games right away. It's not a great way to do the schedule, but in a 13 team league, it's almost like the only way you can do it. So
they do have it like that. And you know, I was looking at some other schedules out there that are not in a league that big where you have some of those bigger matchups towards the end of the year. But yeah, I'm looking at it, and that is exactly Boise, Capital, Centennial, Eagle, CUNA, Meridian, Middleton, Mountain View, Nampa, Owyhee, Rocky. Wow. That is straight alphabetical. Look out.
You can hear the glass shattering in the background of Logan. I've shattered the illusions of So yeah, it just works out for Bora this year that their toughest games are going to come at the very end. But good luck, Lady Lions. We'll be watching you every step of the way. Real quick through the rest of the softball standings: Bishop Kelly, 8-2 overall in the 4A SIC. They're 1-0. Emmett, Valley View, Ridgeview are all 1-0 as well. Emmett at 5-3. They're going to be a team to keep an eye out for, certainly. 3A softball, Parma and Homedale are each 2-0. Parma's still undefeated, Logan. We talked about it last week. We did that deep dive into Parma. They're still unbeaten, 10-0. Homedale is 5-4, but they played some 5A and 4A juggernauts at that win the pitch tournament. I mean, the best of the best. We don't get to see Parma and Homedale play until next Wednesday, Logan. It'll be the first matchup between these two in Homedale, and then not until Monday the 29th in the regular season finale in Parma. Yeah. So,
see, there's one, right, where you've got the regular season finale, which you would expect more than likely those are going to be the top two teams based on what we've seen so far. And so they finish up with a bang going up against each other. But, man, how about this? On Monday, Parma beat Payette 20-13. That's a heck of a game. And you know what? I think if you're a team, you got to win game. There are going to be games that you've got to win like that, and there's games you got to win 1-0, right? You got to be able to win. I think sometimes, well, you gave up 13 runs. That's not great. Well, we also scored 20, and that's not normal for us, right? So games just can be weird sometimes, right? They can. And you got to be able to win both ways. Like, we don't – oh, they only win low-scoring games. Oh, they only win high-scoring games. Oh, they do both. And that's what you can see from Parma is that, hey, they can do both. They beat Nampa Christian 4-3, and then they beat Payette 20-13, right? We can do it both. So, you know, it's cool to see from Parma.
Yep, for sure. 2A softball, Coal Valley Christian, Nampa Christian are both 1-0. The Chargers are 6-4-1. Napa Christian is 3-3. Marcin yet to play. They are 5-5-2 overall, 0-0 in league play. They'll be sneaky under Coach Courtney Ford. And then Melba has the best overall record at 6-2, Logan, but they're 0-1. They dropped their league opener against Napa Christian 9-2. And then New Plymouth, which has kind of been the dominant program in softball in this 2A Western Idaho Conference, they lost their season opener to Coal Valley 7-5. A lot of runway left for all of these teams still, but that's kind of early on.
Yeah, you look at Melba, they beat Fruitland, right? 3A. They beat McCall Donnelly twice, 3A team. Like, you know, one loss to Nampa Christian. I would assume that they'll get their feet underneath them and get it going. And we'll see them. Again, it's only one game, right? That they're 0-1, but I'm sure that we'll see the Mustangs get it going here as the season goes.
Definitely. And then 1A softball, the big matchup was Glens Ferry and Vision Charter earlier this week, Logan. Those were the top two teams last year. They split in the regular season. I think Glens Ferry makes a pretty big statement, 32-0 victory over Vision Charter. So now the question is, okay, Garden Valley, Vision Charter, Wilder are all 2-1. Greenlee Friends is 1-1. Who's going to emerge from that pack to, again, three teams are guaranteed to go to state, and then a fourth team could make it, and possibly a fifth via at-large bids. But, you know, if we're being honest, it's probably going to be three teams. So who joins Glens Ferry at state is the question.
Yeah, and like you said, Garden Valley is sitting at 2-1 right now. They're in second place. But that one loss was to Glens Ferry, and that was 22-0. And that's your second-place team right now. Got beat 22-0. It looks like it's Glens Ferry's to lose. They do have two losses. They played Wendell twice, which is over in District 4, but really not far away from Glens Ferry, right? Just not that far of a drive, so a matchup makes sense. But they lost twice, but one of them was just a one-run game. And that's a school size bigger than them, right? That's not just a 1A school. That's up one school classification. So it'll be interesting to see. They don't I don't know who's playing in this Glens Ferry tournament in a couple of weeks, because you know, right now on their schedule everything is conference. It would be kind of interesting to see Glens Ferry play some other teams. I know they've got a tournament, but I'm not sure who's playing in that. Do you know, Brandon?
Yeah, that's coming up next weekend, right?
Yeah.
So there's going to be a lot of 2A teams there. Coal Valley Christian's going to be there. Okay. Nampa Christian's going to be there.
That'll be a great chance for Glens Ferry to, you know, we'll see what they're really made of, right? It looks right now, again, we're not saying anything about anybody, right? But right now it looks on paper, based on what we've seen, that Glens Ferry is looking very solid right now in softball, in the conference at least. But you never know. Those teams up north are always good. So seeing them play some other teams out of conference and other classifications will definitely help them as they go along.
For sure. And if you want to, if you're a District 3 softball fan for the 1A, and you're trying to figure out, okay, what is this Glens Ferry team all about? I would recommend you go back to last week's Magic Valley PrepCast here on IdahoSports.com. That's our District 4 PrepCast. Scott Burton and I did a deep dive breakdown into Glens Ferry softball. They're a team that loves to run. They're averaging about 10 or 11 stolen bases per game. They've had close to 250 each of the last three seasons. Campbell King had a game against, I think it was Garden Valley earlier this year. She had three inside the park home runs, just showing off the speed. So if you are a 1A softball fan and you're like, boy, Glens Ferry is tough, what's their deal? Tune into last week's Magic Valley PrepCast. We break it all down there. So,
yeah, it'll be awesome. Yeah, go check that out.
Yep, for sure. All right, last thing, track and field. The Arcadia Invite in California, big national tournament, one of the biggest, if not the biggest in the West, is taking place this weekend. We've got a contingent of athletes going down from Boise, Eagle, and Rocky Mountain going down to compete. Boise is sending 10 athletes. Andrew Ringert from Eagle is going down for the 3,200. David Gummersall from Valley View is going for the 400. And then also Rocky Mountain is sending all of their distance run. Well, not all, but four distance runners. We know what kind of distance team Rocky Mountain has. That was the subject of this week's Bell Lap. That's our weekly track and field notebook that Marlo Herford produces. Usually every Tuesday. It was Wednesday this week. But that is what's on the top of the homepage at IdahoSports.com. This week's the Bell Lap. You can read more about it there.
Yeah, that's awesome. Getting these athletes some coverage and you know, we'll be seeing some track here soon on Idaho Sports. It's always it's not a sport that I was in when I was in high school or really around it much at all, but having gone to a couple of track meets, it's pretty fun. I kind of like the atmosphere, and you see kids just doing all sorts of different things out there, and just great athletes getting it done.
For sure. So, yeah, good luck to everybody competing this weekend in the Treasure Valley as well. Thanks for tuning in to the Treasure Valley PrepCast, everybody. We went a little long today, but I feel like if you take out that 10 minutes of NC State.
Yeah, that's my fault. Yeah, just cut out the first 10 minutes.
And then we got to some good Treasure Valley stuff. Logan, good luck to your Wolfpack this weekend, both men and women. We'll find out if it's a jubilant Logan next week or a forlorn Logan next week.
I honestly, you know, and my wife, she always like hides. She's like, are you going to be like, how are you going to be? You're going to be mad. You're going to be, I think that because of what's happened, we can look back and this is awesome. Like, even if the run ends, that it was a great run. Now, do I want the championship? Who doesn't? But man, to make it to the Final Four, it's awesome. It's awesome.
Pretty epic for sure. So yeah. All right. Thanks for tuning into the Treasure Valley PrepCast, everybody. For Logan Green, I'm Brandon Bainey, and we will see you next time on IdahoSports.com.